Parashat Noah. Noah. So, of course, our parasha is well known, the story of the great flood that inundated the civilized world. Noah was saved on a teva with his immediate family. According to the Torah, when the waters receded, Teba landed on Har Ararat. Let's assume it's in Turkey somewhere, in that region. Noah needed permission to disembark. God tells Noah eventually, Semina Teba. And the Pasuk begins, and this is where we begin our talk tonight. Vayetzer Noah ubanav ve'ishto unche banav ito. So Noah and his family comes off the teva, and then the pasuk right after that says, "Vayiven Noah mizbeach laHashem." So Noah builds a mizbeach. He builds an altar. Vayikach mikol abehema teora mikol aofa tahor vayal olot b'mizbeach. So for some reason Noah brings korbanot. Torah doesn't tell us why. I'm not too sure what the hayuv of a korban is over here. He came off a teva. I mean, I studied the book of Vayikra. I don't see where if you come off a teva, you bring a korban. But Noah felt that that was the first move that he had to do. He builds the mizbeach, and he doesn't just bring one korban. It says vayal olot. Again, he brought a certain amount, plurality. More than one. I don't know if he brought two or he brought 20. The Torah doesn't tell me how many he brought, but he brought more than one. Which also, I don't know why. Which korban do you bring more than one? Normally, you bring one korban. Unless it's a korban musaf that you bring more than one. But obviously, it's not a korban musaf. So, what exactly is vayal olot? Fine. I think it's significant, this inyan, because it's the first thing that Noah does off the teva. I mean, the world is now resetting itself. The world's starting again from fresh. So the first move in the new world is this. And everybody says, oh, the first thing he did was he planted a vineyard. That's not so. The first thing he did was he built a mizbeach. And he brought the korbanot. And then whatever he did. So to me, it's very significant. This is like Biryat HaOlam over here. Round two, take two. The first thing that takes place is the Mizbeach of Noah. So I'll tell you where my dirasha, my analysis began when I was preparing this shiur. When I see the pasuk, it says, Vaya'al olot b'mizbeach. I see the word b'mizbeach. Now, I hate to teach you grammar because nobody likes grammar. But you need to know it for a few minutes. You all heard of the principle of heh yidi'ah, which means if I have a noun and have the letter heh in front of it, so the heh makes it exclusive or the special one. Heh yidi'ah, which means if I would say hamizbeyah, it means oh, the mizbeyah, as if the known one. Mizbeyah alone doesn't mean anything. Mizbeyah, any mizbeyah. But Ham Mizbeyah is coming to say, oh, the mizbeyah, the special mizbeyah. Good? What a Heya Yedi'ah does, a Bet with a Patah does the same thing. Which means, Bam Mizbeyah is actually the same thing as Beham Mizbeyah. The patach under the bed takes the place of a letter he. As opposed if it would have said, for example, b'mizbeach. B'mizbeach means in the mizbeach, nothing special. A sheva doesn't get replaced by a he, but a patach does. I'll give you an example. I don't know what everybody's custom is over here, but our custom is when we put our talit gadol on in the morning, we make the beracha asher kedeshanu b'mitzvotav v'sivanu lehit'atef. What do you say, boys? Besisit. We say besisit. Some books have basisit, but the more proper text would be besisit. Why? Because today we don't have the techelet. At least most people don't have the techelet. Most of us wear just the white strings. So therefore, we're lacking the original sisit. So if we would say lit'atif basisit, would mean behasisit. Implying, oh, we're wearing the sisit of the techelet. But since we're not wearing the techelet, so therefore we don't say basisit, we say besisit. Besisit, nothing, not a special. So what my observation initially was, that when Noah brings this korban, the pasuk says vayal olot bamizbeah. So bamizbeah means behamizbeah. So that means this mizbeah must have been known. This wasn't just a random mizbeah; it was a known mizbeah. So that got me thinking: what was this mizbeah? Do I know of any other mizbeahs until this point? Well, there's only one more parasha before Noah, so I got to go back to Bereshit and see if there's any well-known mizbeachs that were around before Noah, and then I have to see if there's a connection between the two. So I go back. No chidushim yet. I know you know what I'm going to say. I go back a few pages. So the pasuk writes in Bereshit, Kain and Eved. ויהי מקץ ימים, ויבא קין מפרי האדמה מנחה להשם. So Cain brings a מנחה, brings a קורבן. והבל לוי גם הוא מבכורות צאנו ומחן בהם. And Hevel also brought. Now, it doesn't say anything about a מזבח, but I'm assuming they brought it on a מזבח, it's a קורבן. So I say to myself, is there a connection between the מזבח of Noah and this מזבח of Cain in heaven? It's got to be somewhere because it says Bamizbeah. Only problem is, Noah got off the Teva in Turkey. In Hararat. So, I don't know if Cain and Abel were in Turkey. So, we'll have to see that. Is there another Mizbeah before Cain and Abel? No. Before Cain and Abel, not too many options. It could only be Adam and Rishon. Did Adam and Rishon have anything to do with a Mizbeah? Well, I didn't bring the Gemara from inside, but I have it on my... Tell me.
Why didn't he take him from the door?
Gemara, Avodah Zarah Dafchet. The Gemara says that after Adam and Rishon committed the sin, God put a knas on him to die. The Gemara says on Dafchet, Vaya Yoshev B'Ta'anit, he fasted a certain amount of time. Ubuche kol alayla. The Hava bucha kenegdon. Hava was crying also. Kivan she'alamu dashaha the next day. Amar minagoshen olamu. Amad v'kriv shor. Aha. Adam Rishon got up and he brought a shor. As a korban. So the Gemara clearly says that Adam and Ishon also brought Korban. He brought a shor after he got thrown out of Gan Eden. So I'm wondering. So in the first two parashiyot of the Torah, I see Adam and Ishon brought a Korban. I see Cain and Abel brought a Korban. And now I see Noah brought a Korban. So I say, well, is there anybody else after Noah that brings a Korban? So you go to Parashat Vayera. We all know when Avraham Avinu was going with Yitzhak Avinu to the Akedah. So when they get to the Akedah, v'yavo el ha-makom asher amar lo ha-Elohim, v'yiven sham Avraham et ha-mizbeach. Oh. And Avraham Avinu builds ha-mizbeach. Shtabach shemo. So again I see ha-mizbeach, ba-mizbeach. I'm seeing all indications over here that there was something special about this mizbeach. This was not a stam mizbeach. Can it add, there's a connection between them. Only problem is, I don't know the connection between them. I just know that there's something going on over there. This was a Mizbeach that was well known. Noah must have known about it. Avram clearly knew about it. They're all going back to the same spot and they're building the same Mizbeach. What I also am not too sure of is, by Noah it says he built it. By Avram Avinu it says he built it. Even. By Cain and Abel, it doesn't say anything about them building it. It just says they brought. By Adam and Rishon, it doesn't say anything. It's not even in the text. We need the Gemara Avodah Zarah to tell me. So I have to assume Adam and Rishon built it. It was the first one to build it. But then why by the others? They didn't have to build it. And then Cain and Abel didn't build it, but Noahid built it. And Avraham Avinu did build it. So that's a technical question, just why some of them built it and some of them didn't build it. Stop. But I'm struggling to find a kesher between the Mizbechot. So I searched. You know, Harambam, in his Yad HaZakah, the Rambam wrote 14 volumes on Kol HaTorah Kula, on the parts of the Torah that apply and on the parts of the Torah that don't apply. That's the greatness of that sefer. Shulchan Aruch, for example, did not talk about the laws of Tzara'at, although there's laws of Tzara'at. But Shulchan Aruch only talked about the laws that are Halakha L'Maaseh. Lukot Tzara'at doesn't apply today. He doesn't talk about the laws of Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach doesn't apply today. We don't have it. Shulchan Aruch only talked about Ora Hayim, things that are on daily living. Whereas the Rambam, Kol HaTorah Kula, whether it applies or doesn't apply. And in the volume called Avodah, he has a whole section called the laws of Bet HaBechira, the laws of the Bet HaMikdash. Look at Bet HaBechira. And in Perek Bet, Halakha Bet, HaBedchot Bet HaBechira, I found the following. Again, I didn't bring the text from inside, but I have it over here on our... We are not out of gadgets today, Baruch Hashem. We have all the Hadushim you can find. I took a picture of it, one second. In Harambam. It's Perek Bet Halakha Bet. Umasoret biyad hakol. Masoret means we have a tradition. Biyad hakol. Seems it was a well-known tradition. הרמב״ם לשון, מסור ביד הכל. שהמקום שבנה בו דוד ושלמה המזבח בגורן ערבנה. We all know the story how David HaMelech bought the temple mount from ערבנה, היבוסי, the Jebusite. It's בפירוש הנביא. I don't know, the United Nations doesn't have that text in their Nevi'im. But the Navi tells clearly, David HaMelech bought the site and tells us how much he paid for it. He paid top dollar for the Temple Mount. And he actually drafted plans for the Bet HaMikdash. For whatever reason, Borei Olam told David HaMelech, he's not going to build the Bet HaMikdash. Give those plans to Shlomo. Eventually Shlomo would use the plans of his father to build the Bet HaMikdash. And in the plans, David HaMelech marked where the Mizbeach is going to be. That means he put the lines, here's where you put the Mizbeach. Not only did he construct the architectural design, but actually put on paper where the furniture goes. So the Rambam says we have a Masoret, that the place that David HaMelech chose, and the place where actually Shlomo HaMelech built the Mizbeach, Hu amakom shebanabo Abraham amizbeach. It's the exact spot that Avraham Avinu built the mizbeach. Ve'akad alav Yitzhak, and he did the akedah over there. Ishtabach shemo. So therefore, Avraham Avinu, when he built that mizbeach, that would be the future spot of the Beit HaMikdash. You could put a sign, you know, future site of the mizbeach of the Beit HaMikdash. And then he comes along and says, והוא המקום שבנה בו נוח כשיצא מן הטבע. And that's the same exact spot that Noah built the teva when he came off the teva. Or Noah built it when he came off the teva. Now, therefore, I have to put a pause for a second. That must mean that he landed on Har Ararat, and he must have, had to scale the mountain down, and then he had to make his way to Jerusalem. So when the text comes along and says that Vayetze Noach ben HaTeva, the next pasuk says Vayibin Noach Mizbeach, it's not immediate. Well, the pesukim sound like he got to, boom, the next second he built the Mizbeach. It's not immediate. It means it's the next thing he did. In the interim, he had to get from Har Ararat, obviously, to Eretz Yisrael, and then find the footprint of a certain spot. So the Rambam comes along and says, and that Mizbeach that Noah built, the Uwa Mizbeach she'ekriv alav Kain ve'Hevel. And that's the same Mizbeach that Kain and Hevel brought up. Ubo he'ekriv Adam Rishon Korban. So you see an amazing Rambam over here, boys. Harabam says actually there is a connection between all these Mizbechot. There's a connection between what Abraham built. Abraham followed the pattern of Noah. Noah followed the pattern of Cain and Abel, and Cain and Abel followed the pattern of Adam. And this Mizbeach would eventually become the official Mizbeach of Klai Yisrael in the Beit HaMikdash. And David and Shlomo must have known this history that we're talking about. So they chose as a footprint for the Mizbeach this exact spot. Okay, so at least Baruch Hashem we're getting warm. What Harambam doesn't answer for me is why Noah had to build it, and why, for example, Avram had to build it. If Noah built it, so then why did Avram have to rebuild it? And why did Noah have to build it bichlal? If Cain and Hebel built it, but it doesn't say they built it. So I found over here, this is a reference. There's a Targum Yonatan ben Uziel. The Targum Yonatan ben Uziel is in Parashat Vayera. It's on the Pasuk Perech Chavet Pasuk Tet. Ve'atu le'atra, Avraham Avinu and Yitzhak get to the place, which is Harabai. Ve'amal le'ashim u'bnataman Avraham yet matbeha. And Avraham builds a Mizbeah. Dibna Adam, the same Mizbeah that Adam Rishon built. That's a Targum Yonatan. Ve'et pechar b'moy detuv anna. Targum Yonatan says, and what happened to the Mizbeah that Adam built? It fell apart during the flood. The flood caused it to to disintegrate or to dissipate or to to become broken. Now you can ask, well, was the flood in Eretz Yisrael? Well, it's about looking if the flood was in Eretz Yisrael. According to the opinion, say the flood was in Eretz Yisrael, it's fine. And even if you say the flood was in Eretz Yisrael, it could be there was rain there. So therefore, strong rains and all that. So the Mizbeah that Adam and Rishon built eventually would become destroyed. So the Pasuk says, Ubanye, Betav Noach, Noach came, Ubanye, and he built it. Okay, it's fine, I have no problem with that. But I'm not aware of any flood between Noah and Avraham. So then why would Avraham have to rebuild it? Once Noah rebuilt it, it should have been there for permanent. So the Targum Yonatan says, Ve'et pechar, et pechar means it fell apart, it broke. Bedarad de palguta. In Dora Palaga, those are the guys that built the skyscraper to fight God. So it seems they weren't only fighting God in the heavens. They were fighting any remnant of God on earth as well. So they went to any symbol of godliness, and they vandalized it. So you think ISIS is the first group that was vandalizing religious landmarks. It's not so. The first ones to defame religious landmarks was the Dora Palaga. They went to the Mizbeah. They knew that this Mizbeah had a history. They knew Noah brought a Korban on it. They knew Adam and Rishon. This represented the Korban to God. So if they went, they destroyed it. So therefore, when Avraham Avinu came to Haran Moriah, he's figuring he's going to see the Mizbeah there. And he sees the ISIS flag over there. So these guys found the Mizbeah. So therefore, by Abraham Avinu, says he had to rebuild the Mizbeach. So at least now we have a clarity in why Abraham had to rebuild, why Noah had to rebuild. Now I'm assuming Cain and Abel didn't need to build it because Adam built it, and then the next generation. Nothing happened. Nothing happened between Adam and Cain. Adam built it, and it lasted for that generation, no problem. So I said to myself, if we go back to that Rambam that I just read to you, and we read it a little closer, Harambam was very, very careful in his Lashon. You boys learn in yeshiva. I'm sure you've been told many times that not only can you learn from what Harambam writes, but a lot of times you can learn from what Harambam omits, what he doesn't write. Harambam wrote the book, Lehavdil, to be read by students like you're reading a lawyer's document. Like a lawyer would read a document. If you ever see a lawyer, the way he reads a document, he takes his pen out, and he circles words, and he underlines words, and he puts commas, and he puts notes. The lawyer reads the document very, very, with great scrutiny. Because he knows that words imply things, and if you use the wrong word in a sentence, it could change the whole meaning of the text. Harambam, when he wrote his text, he didn't just write it, cursory, superficially. When you read the Wall Street Journal, you don't ma'ayin in every word. You read the article, and you get the gist. When you read Harambam, you have to read every single word with great scrutiny, and you have to figure out why he wrote this word and why he didn't write the other word. That's what we spend our days in yeshiva, breaking apart, dissecting the Lashon of the Rambam. That's why it's such a fun limud, because he wrote it to do that. He tells you, he wrote it with great accuracy. Therefore, you're allowed to squeeze every word, why he wrote it, why he didn't write it, why didn't he say it like this. So I went back to the Rambam, just as a side, a nikudah, which I think is significant. I'm going to read you Rambam's Lashon. ומסורת בידקות שהמקום שבנה בו דוד ושלום הזה וגורן רבנה הוא המקום שבנה בו אברהם. By אברהם אבינו, רמב"ם uses the lashon שבנה, rebuilt. והוא המקום שבנה בו נוח. הרמב"ם uses the lashon שבנה. והוא המזבח שהקריב עליו קין והבל. Interesting. When it came to קין והבל, the Rambam doesn't say Shebana. He says Shekriv. So Harambam was very, very careful on who built it and who sacrificed on it. Exactly like the text is and like the Yonatan ben Uziel. Now if I had to say what type of Korban Noah brought on the Mizbeah, I'm not sure. But I know what type of Korban Adam HaRishon brought. Adam HaRishon clearly brought a Korban Hatat. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Chet is telling me clearly that Adam HaRishon made a sin when he ate from the tree. He was fasting, he was crying. So part of his atonement was he brought a Korban. Sure. So, trivia question. The first Korban Hatat in history is Adam HaRishon. Now, it's very significant, boys, because eventually that Mizbeah would become the Mizbeah that Klai Yisrael would use in the Beit HaMikdash. But Avraham Avinu was the first one to, so to speak, inaugurate that spot. So when he brought a Korban Hatat, it's almost like Maaseh Avot Siman HaBanim. That Avraham Avinu would prepare the Mizbeah to receive all future Korban Hatats. It wasn't just Adam Rishon brought Hatat. We'll get to Abraham in a minute. Adam brought a Hatat. It wasn't just a personal Hatat. Adam Rishon was putting the energies into the Mizbeah that this place would be able to receive all future Korban Hatats of Klai Yisrael. This was an investment here. Because otherwise, why would David and Shlomo go pick that spot? They picked it because Adam picked it. That means Adam HaRishon's Korban would have universal future benefit for all of Klal Yisrael. Avraham Avinu, I know what type of Korban Avraham Avinu bore. The Torah says, "Va'aleu le'ola." Avraham Avinu bore Korban Ola, which would be a very common Korban that was brought on Mizbeach every single day. So Avraham Avinu established the inyan of Korban Ola. No problem, I accept. Cain and Hevel, well, they didn't make any sins at that time. It seems they were just bringing a voluntary Korban. The Gemara Zebahim is mashma that it's a Korban Shilamim. It's beautiful. So we have the major Korbanot, each one. By the way, I think the Torah wanted us to remember who inaugurated the Mizbeah, which is Adam Rishon. Because if you look in Sefer Vayikra, every time it talks about a Korban, how does the Torah introduce it? Adam ki yakrib Korban. What is Adam? Why do you mention this as Adam? Ish. Ish, Isha. We don't say Adam, Adama. Why does it refer to the one that brings a Korban? Adam. It's trying to hint to you that the only reason you are able to meet your Korban is because Adam ki yakrib Korban. Because already Adam and Rishon beat you to it. Adam and Rishon already started the process many years ago. And if as a result of Adam, everybody else can bring Korban later on. And then Cain and Hevel brought Korban Shelamim. And then you have Avraham brought a Korban Ola. But what was Noah's Korban? There's different opinions. I'll reference you to the Meshech Chochmah. Although I didn't come over to say the Meshech Chochmah. He has a novel interpretation. He holds that the Korban of Noah, when he got off the Teba, was a Korban of a Yoledet. A Yoledet, a lady gave birth. A lady who gives birth has to bring Korbanot Ola after she becomes pure, before she's allowed to go back to be with her husband. She has to bring Korbanot. So the Mishnah Chochmah wants to say that since Noah was forbidden to be with his wife when he was on the Teba, so therefore he has a deen like a Yoledet, that when he comes off the Teba, he has to be a Korban in order to change his status. Okay, it's a novel interpretation. But I found the Midrash. The Midrash says like this. It's in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Perek Kaf Gimel. Vayal Olot. Velama Ekrim. Huh? Baruch Hashem, our question. Lama Ekrim. Ela Yashav Noach V'darash B'libo. Noach sat. V'darash B'libo. And he made a drashah. Amar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Etzilani M'meh Mabul. God saved me from the floods. Ve'otzi'ani m'masger. And he saved me from my confinement. Ve'eni hayav l'akrim l'fanav korban todah. Shouldn't I have to bring a korban todah? Miyad evi Noach korban todah. So according to the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, the korban of Noah is korban todah, which to me makes very much sense. It's a korban of Thanksgiving. It wasn't a turkey, obviously. He brought from the korbanot that he had on the Mizbeah. But it's very logical. So it comes out, Adam HaRishon is korban hatat. Cain in heaven is korban shelamim. Noah is korban todah, according to the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. And Avraham Avinu is korban ola. And bingo, you have a perfect Mizbeah. Now, all the major korbanot already were, you know, injected into that spot. And therefore, Christ said in the future, we need to bring a korban hatat. You can take Adam Rishon. Say to be Korban Ola, Avraham Avinu, Azak Baruch. Korban Toda, Noah. Korban Shlamim, Kain Behemet. So the Mizbeah already was invested. Just a side point. Every time you bring a Korban, also Parashat Vayikra, after it says Adam Ki Yakrib Korban, what does it say after the Korban is born? The Layach Nihowa, which is Otiyot with Noah. Which is the reason that Adam and Noah's names are mentioned in every single Korban because they already prepared the Mizbeah. Now, just side note again. We know that for Korban Todah, one needs to experience one of four situations in order to make a Korban Todah. Today we don't have Korban Todah, but we have Birkat HaGomel. The Berachat HaGomel follows the same laws of Korban Todah. Whenever you would be obligated to bring Korban Todah, today you'd be obligated to say Birkat HaGomel. The Gemara says that Arba'a Sidikim Nehodot. There are four specific situations that a person is obligated to show gratitude by Korban Todah. They are somebody that was in prison, jail, and he was released. That's called Havush. It's Havush, he was in prison. When they release him, get out of jail free, he says, I go mail, they reach Korban Todah. Somebody that found himself on the high seas. He was on a boat, and he came to port, and the Baruch Hashem, nothing happens. So you also have to make Korban Todah or Birkat HaGomel. That's Yam. The third situation is somebody that God forbid is sick. According to the Sephardim, even if he was lying in bed for one day, that's enough already. He had Yisuri that incapacitated him, that he had to be in bed. When he gets out of bed, he has to bring already Korban Todah. So the third situation is called Yisuri. The last situation is if somebody's in the Midbar. Somebody that's traveling in the desert, Sakana, and he finally gets to his point of destination safely. When he gets there safely, he has to go and bring a Korban Todah. So that's the fourth case is Midbar. The great Rabbi Rav Chida, he comes along and says that the way you remember all the four is Rashi Tevot Hayim. And he says, that's what we say in the Tefillah. Mechol Hayim Yodu Chaser. That means anybody that experienced Hayim, one of the four things, Yoducha. Yoducha means what? Gratitude. Mechol Hayim Yoducha. Beautiful. So I said to myself, which one of these did Noah experience? Now, it's possible he can experience more than one. So I said, let's check off the easy ones, the obvious ones. Well, obviously Noah was in the Yam. I mean, if a guy has to make Birkat HaGomel or Korban Todah on a Caribbean cruise, when it gets back to the port in New Jersey, so certainly if you survive the flood, which the Teva, you know, was involved in a very, very technical waters, 40 days and 40 nights, and then all the other aftermath. So clearly, he experienced the Yam. Now, Noah also was Havush. He was imprisoned. What? David HaMelech, at the end of Tehillim, in Kufman, Yimad, Odala, over there, he has a pasuk that says, Hotsi eli memasger nafshi. Remember? Hotsi eli memasger nafshi. Take me out of my confines. Lehodot et shemecha. In order I should give you gratitude. The Midrash says that this was actually Noah praying. When he was on the Teva, he says, take me out of my confines. Because the Teva was like a jail. Worse than a jail. In Rikers Island, they have human animals. In the jail, they had animals. Because they were much animals. Sakana, every second. So therefore, and I know it was a sentence, because when the flood was received, and Noah knows it's safe for him to get off the Tiba, he doesn't get off the Tiba, then God tells him to get off the Tiba. Implying that the prisoner cannot just leave the prison when he wants. He needs a warning to tell him, Tzemera Teva. So therefore, it was a jail sentence. So therefore, he came out of jail free, or got out of jail. Hamush. Now, Yisuri also, the Midrash says that he got kicked by the lion, and he was limping. Well, he came to the Teva, he started to heal himself. So therefore, he had Yisuri also. So, I said, I don't know about Midbar, but three out of the four, three out of the four, he endured.
Midbar was him walking to Israel.
Ah, how's that going? he also experienced Midbar. Because according to our theory, he landed in Turkey, but he went all the way to Jerusalem in order to bring the Korban Bar Mitzvah. So, he had to go to the Midbar. So he had to travel. The Radak makes this point on the Pasuk that he had to travel from Halalat to Yerushalayim. That's good. So once he has to travel, that's Midbar. So technically, my theory is Noah endured all four. So if I'm right, when the Pasuk says Bayal Olot Bamizbayah, I know why he had to bring plural Korbanot. Because he went through all four. Now, I would love to see somewhere that says he brought four Korbanot. The text doesn't say it. It just says Bayal Olot. I want to say four. If I can find somebody that tells me four, then I have a good theory. Well, I said, let me take a peek at the Targum Yonatan ben Uzziel. We were lucky with him already, and some other stuff, so let's see what it says. Ve'ibin Noach Mizbeah, Targum Yonatan. Ubna Noach Madbeha, Noach built the Mizbeah. Konan Hashem, in front of God. Madbeha de Ben Adam. Same Mizbeah that Adam and Yishon built. Ve'idan de Etzad ben Gintad Eidem, when he got thrown out of Gan Eidem. והאחים עלו קורבנן, יבואו לקורבן, ואלו יקרבו קין והבל, קין והבל בו יותר קורבניון, וכד נחתו מויד לתובענה, אבל בפלד קין, הצעד, לפלופה, ובניין נועה, ונסד מכל דעילה דקה מכל עוף, נכי בעסק, and he brought on the מזבח, ארבע, על ההוא מלבח. So תרגום, for some reason, out of his way, it said, that he brought ארבע. But it doesn't say why. So I come along and make a shidduch between the Targum Yonatan ben Uzziel and the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. The Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer said it was a Korban Todah, and he's saying four. Must be that because he experienced all four situations that I am a Korban Todah, so therefore, Bayar Olot, the Mizbeah, I brought four for the four items that you have to be modern. So far, so good, Rabbotai? But now I get to the gist of what I came to talk to you about. My question is, the question that the Gemara always asks in situations like this. My dehava hava. Which means, who cares what Noah did when he came off the Teva and he built the Mizbeah? Who cares? The Torah is not a story book. The Torah is not a history book. The Torah is a book of lessons. What do I care that he built the Mizbeah and not Olot? What does that have to do for me? What does that have to do? And what else did he do? And then he went and he tied his shoes. And then he went to sleep. I don't know. I don't need to have so this is another detail. We don't really put the Mizbeah. So what? Just like in history, when they tell you about the Incas and the Mayas and the Aztecs, so you're supposed to tell your history teacher, maybe I'm okay, I'm not a Mexican, I don't care what happens to you. So the same thing over here. I was like, well, no, I'm very interested. Yeah, very nice. Nice trivia. You brought a Qurban. No, we don't care. Unless the Torah's coming to... So the Mishnah Chochmah says something. Let's go back to the Mishnah Chochmah. I'm going to say the Mishnah Chochmah and then I'm going to say my own English. But it was inspired from the Mishnah Chochmah. The Mishnah Chochmah writes that Noah was Sadiq Tamim B'Dorotav. He lived in two generations, Dorotav. He says he lived in the generation of the Mahul and the generation after the Mahul. So the Mishnah Chochmah says, well, he was a tzaddik in both generations. His tzaddikut in the generation of the Mabul is obvious. Everybody else was decadent and degenerate, and Noah was a tzaddik. Noah went against the, no pun intended, but against the tide. So therefore, I understand why he's called a tzaddik in the generation of the Mabul. As the Meshech Chokhmah, how does Noah's tzaddikut manifest itself in the generation after the Mabul? What did he do in the generation after the Mabul to show his tzidkut? So the Shachma says he had a karat atof. Ba'ibin mizbeach. He just wanted that to bring. He says a lot of people go through difficult times and they make all sorts of medali. Oh, if I get out, I'm going to do. Let's see, anyway, masgir nafshi, leodot et shemecha, and I'm going to. And then when the problem goes away, the son of Mashkim doesn't remember Yosef. When he needs Yosef in the prison to interpret dreams, oh, I'm worthy for you. And then the second he gets free, for those Zachar. And that's the nature of life. Person doesn't follow through after he gets better, he forgets his nedarim. The fellow that was looking for parking, right? And he comes along and says, oh, Hashem, please let me find a spot and I'll go to shul every single day and I'll pray with Kavana and I'll give Siddharth. He makes all sorts of deals. And he's saying that. And so also the car pulls out right in front of him. And what does he say? Hashem, never mind, I found a spot. When you're in trouble, you call out to God. When the trouble goes away, you forget that it was God that got you out of the trouble. The Yitzhak makes me say, no, it wasn't God, it was a coincidence. It was just, it would happen anyway. He was getting out anyway, he didn't make it to Vilah. All this type of. So the greatness of Noah was, is that when he got off the Teba, he had a karatatot. He didn't, forget who saved him. He didn't forget the miracles that he endured. So according to Mesh Chokmah, that's not a mind to have a hava. That's a lesson. That's a lesson book. That's an important lesson to know. The first thing Noah does when he gets off the Teba, he says, thank you. He doesn't forget the Tovot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, and that can teach me a great lesson not to forget. That's what you're talking about. I came along and said the following words. How am I going to explain this to you? In law, they talk about a concept called a legal precedent. Is there a precedent? Is there a case that happened before this case that gives us an idea exactly what the court's opinion is? The legal precedent. In Judaism, the way Judaism works, it's called the Mesorah. What is a Mesorah? The first Mishnah Pirkei Avot teaches us the nature of how Torah is transferred from generation to generation. It's Al Yedin Mesirah. Moshe Kibir Torah Mesinai Musala. Yeshua the Skinim, Skinim and Be'im, and Be'im checking the Skinim Ulah, etc., etc. The Skinim, Skinim, there's a transfer. Torah is received by Moshe Rabbeinu, and then he takes that same Torah and he has to deliver to the next generation. It has to pass through the hands of one generation and deliver to the hands of the next generation. That's called the Mesorah. But Mesorah is very, very, very delicate. Because one of the responsibilities of the Moser is to make sure that he's delivering the same package that he received. The one that's in charge of or entrusted with the Mesorah must preserve it as best as he can to try to transmit more or less what he got, not to deliver a different product, not to alter it or not to change it. The Mordechai Yiftah Alav Shalom would say many times, Rosh Hashanah tells, Torah Sivana Moshe Morasha Kilat Yaakov. So he says, the Torah is called the Morasha. Well, what's the difference between the word Morasha and Yerusha? It doesn't say Yerusha. And Yerusha is an inheritance. Morasha is a legacy or heritage. He says there's a big difference between a heritage and an inheritance. Where is? If somebody inherits something from his father, it's his to do what he wants with it. The son can take his father's Yerusha that he inherited legally and throw it in Yam HaMelech. Nobody gets nothing. It's his to do what he wants. If he decides to squander it, or to waste it, or to burn it, it's his. But a Morasha, it doesn't belong to you. What you received as a heritage, the obligation of the receiver or the entrustee is to be shomer. He has to be watching. He has to be shomer enam, shomer sachar, shomer. He has to be shomer, and then give it over. He has no rights to make any adjustments or any changes. That's the point you saw, boys. It's not for us to change and modify the religion as we see fit. We must follow the pasuk. We must follow what was said before us. The conservative, for example, the reform, those movements have no respect for pasuk. To them, the religion starts by them, and they decide going forward, because to them, anything that's old is stale. Anything that represents old is tired. It's worn out. It's regressive. So therefore, they're going to... the Torah was good then, but it needs to be updated, like everything else is updated. And therefore, they shun any precedent that came before them, and the religion begins by them going forward. It was the Hatam Sofer, if you remember, that said regarding those innovators that started to change from precedent. And he was the one that used the religious quip, and he said, Hadash Asur Ben HaTorah. Of course, that's referring to the flower. The Kemach Yashan and Kemach Hadash. But he used it as Hadash Asur Ben HaTorah. You know, the new flower is forbidden. This new innovations that we never saw before, it's forbidden from the Torah. And then he would say, also from a quip, Oseh Hadashot Ba'al Min Harot, that the one that innovates is going to war. Who's going to war against? He said he's going to war against his grandfather. He goes to war against the previous generation. As if he says, they didn't know anything, they were behind the times, we know better. And then they start to modify all the texts and all the Torah, and they come along and delete half of it, and before you know it, it starts with moving some furniture in the city. And now that's what they say, be careful, this is the beginning of the end. All they did is move the teva a couple of inches, lower the lady section. But it's once you start to make innovations, before you know it, you had a parking lot with driving on Shabbat and eating kippur and goyim in the congregation. It all started from what? From making these changes. So that's what happens when you take the Mesorah, the Morasha, and you turn it into a Yerusha. Now, let me say something else, please. We're not against innovation. Of course, the Torah must deal with modern situations. And by the way, I know that the Gemara does not have a microwave. So it's our obligation to take Torah principles and apply to a microwave. But not to change the Torah principles. If you open up any of our Hanukkah's Teshuvot, they all deal with modern issues. From fertility to computers to all sorts of innovation, and he's taking an old book with old principles and applying it. And they apply it. But to come along and change the principles and change the book and say it has no application today, that's what we're talking about. Not to change the precedent. The Mishnah, the famous Mishnah. The Mishnah, when it's talking about the Torah, the Mishnah says, and the Torah is compared to a young student who studies Torah is compared to Yain Yashan Bekankan Hadash. Old wine in a new bottle. That's a very important mashal to you. There's nothing wrong with a new bottle, so long as it carries old wine. New bottle represents
modernity, innovation, advance, no problem. But as long as the new bottle is carrying old wine, so therefore, it's going to be all based on something that was before us. The problem is when you have a new bottle with new wine, and the bottle says 2016, and the wine is also just been harvested 2016, then you're a joke. We want the wine to be 5,000 years old. That's respect for our ancestors. You must have heard the statement that says that anybody goes to a wedding, it's as if they built one of the old ruins of Jerusalem. I guess if you go to a wedding, you're helping the couple build a new home. So you dance with them. You dance with them. So this is when it goes to a wedding and it's mechazek, the couple, it's like you built one of the old ruins of Jerusalem. Why? Why to build an old ruin of Jerusalem? Why don't you say you built a condominium in Florida, in the ocean? Old ruins of Jerusalem. What is that all about? You want to build one of those? And the explanation is because you're going to the wedding to build a new home, but the new home has to be based on the old ruins of Jerusalem, on the old. But if you're building a new home based on some progressive and new fatal idea and new world concepts, this is a mistake. The Simchat Atan Nekala is to celebrate the new that's built on the old. New bottles with old wine. And here's why I come to say my chiddush. You know what the greatness of Noah was when he came off the Teva? The world starts from Noah. Noah could have built the Mizbeach anywhere. He's the only one in the world. The last one to build the Mizbeach is 9 generations before, or 10 generations before. That's 1600 years. The world starts from Noah. Noah could have said, I'm the builder that I want to build. History begins by me. There is no precedent. And you know what the greatness of Noah was? He said, oh, there are people that came before me in the world, and there's a history, and there's a precedent, and I'm not going to be the innovator of something new now. And therefore he went 1600 years back in history, he found the footprint of the Rabbi Shimon, and he went from Turkey, and he made the trek all the way to Yerushalayim, and he built the Mizbeach exactly, not a foot to the left or foot to the right. And to me, that's the greatness of Noah. At that moment over there, Noah guaranteed a Mesorah, guaranteed a continuation. If he would have built the Mizbeach somewhere else, that could be reconsidered before. The greatness of Noah was he built it in that spot, and guess what? That spot would become the temple. Because he didn't change it. Because he went back to the same tradition. He invested in the same place. And guess what? When Abraham Avinu was looking for a spot, where did Noah go? Where was that? And by the way, from Abraham to Noah is another 10 generations. Just a long span. But then it comes, 10 generations ago, that was the old timers. We're living in a modern world, now we're going to put the Mizbeach where we want. Guess what? If they would have built the Mizbeach in a different spot, it wouldn't have worked. And now when David HaMelech came to put the Mizbeach in the Beit HaMikdash, if he would have put the Mizbeach in a different spot, it would have set on it, no service. If you wanted Wi-Fi, you have to put it in the spot where the predecessors be. If you want the Mizbeach to be mechaper for Korban Chatah, to be mechaper for Korban Shelami, to be mechaper for Korban Todah, to be mechaper for Korban Olah, it had to be done in the Makom, in the old place. And that's a big yes and a lot that Noah could have had. I'm the only survivor, I'll do what I want. And he went back, he humbled himself, and that's why the Chiddush says, Vayivin Mizbeach. He said the word Vayivin can also mean the having the understood. Not only did he build, but he understood how crucial this moment was. And that's why the Torah comes and tells us, it's not my Gahava. This is a crucial lesson to learn. That as you become more modernized, you become more removed from the predecessors, you always have to plug yourself into Min Hagavotenu. Dorot Vishonim, Hachamim. But not to come along and think that you're wiser than them, smarter than them. The greatness of Noah was he built a new world on an old foundation. He built new bottle. And he made sure the contents were old wine. And that's the greatness of Noah. And that's the greatness of that Mizbeach. To me, it's one of the most significant parts of the parasha. The tzidkut of Noah in the post-flood generation is that he went back. Of course, he moved the world forward, but we're looking behind him. He didn't shun the accomplishments of those that came before him. And this is a key lesson, Rabotai. As we always transfer the Mesorah has a history. But when one thinks that no, the Mesorah starts from me, I'll be shown.